This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thank you, Heisty. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan in D.C. and in Richmond. Wherever you're at, in and around either of those cities or all over the country on the Radio.com app, we welcome you back to the news that Ryan Zimmerman is rejoining the Washington Nationals. Zim coming back to D.C. He'll finish his career possibly after this season with the Nats. Couple things. Number one, you hope that he can play because last year he had to opt out because of the pandemic. Some of the rules, some of the weird things. So you hope that, you know, with his situation, he had a newborn baby. Obviously, he's got a mother with MS, which, Danny, you know all about. It hits close to home for you. You guys do a lot of for his charity, and you do a lot of events with him. That having all been said, though, here's why it makes so much sense to bring him back, in addition to veteran in your clubhouse, important guy in this community, whatever. He still mashes lefties. As a right-handed power bat over his last three seasons, 17, 18, 19, his slash line against southpaws, 351 average, 418 on base, 637 slug.
I guess
you're talking about a nearly 1,100 OPS with a 350 average against lefties. He owns left-handed pitching. So if you want to put him as part of a platoon at first base, just get him some ops when you're taking on southpaws, I'm all for it. That dude is a really, really good offensive piece in situational usage.
Smooth glove could pick it over there like it's nobody's business. Functional player. He's good as a pinch hitter too. That's not an easy skill for guys who are everyday players to pick up and acquire. And he gives you good at bat off the bench as well. So you think of that, his at bat against Hader against Milwaukee. I believe he was a pinch hitter in that ball game, and that huge single sets the stage for Juan Soto to do what Juan Soto did. But great clubhouse addition. Price is right. It just makes way too much sense.
All right, we will not be covering the Nats in the Blitz. That broke too recently. We can get back into that in a few. We're covering all the other teams in town right now, though, so let's get it started. We'll talk Caps with Ben Raby of the Capitals Radio Network. Benjamin, what a weird night it's going to be watching this team. I think the first time I'll be watching the Caps without any Russian influence on their roster since, what, 2002 or something like that?
I looked it up, Grant. I'm not sure that this is official, but I go back to the season finale in the 2003-04, the final game before the Alex Ovechkin era. No Russian presence in that game. I believe that was the last time.
Benjamin, what we saw against Pittsburgh, that 2.0, the second game, especially in that second period, was just not good. And that's kind of the last taste in our mouths pre this whole COVID emergency. What is Peter Laviolette, kind of what have they been working on here? What's going back to the drawing board? I know they didn't really have the normal training camp to kind of the get-to-know-you time, but they got some work to do here because this season will get old in a hurry.
Yeah, they do. 6 out of 8 points looks good, certainly. But the way those two Pittsburgh losses unfolded, the way the Capitals gave away leads, multiple goal leads in the Tuesday night overtime loss against Pittsburgh. Again, penalty trouble, not doing them any favors in that one, parading to the penalty box once again. But more so the play defensively and trying to protect these leads and some defensive lapses, defensive gaps. They started out very well, but you got the sense as the game went along, maybe it was a case of, look, the fourth road game in less than a week for the Capitals, with the tire legs emerging, I'm not so sure. But certainly the play defensively an area they'll be looking to tighten up. It was a big concern last year. It was part of the reason the coaching change was made. Talk about undisciplined play and lapses defensively, common theme second half of last year. It's been an issue so far this year. That's why I think, fellas, 6 out of 8 points to start the year. You take it, you run with it, and now new challenges, of course, coming up now with the short-handed roster.
Ben, without Ovi and Kuzi, what are the lines going to look like? I'd imagine we'll get Jake Verana with Nicholas Backstrom and Tom Wilson up top, but what else is there?
Yeah, the one I'm interested in seeing, fellas, was the third line the other night in Pittsburgh. Now they get elevated to second line, but that second line of Eller centering Ponick and Oshie. What I like about Lars Eller, we've seen this several times over the past few years, whether Backstrom or Kuznetsov, whenever they've been out due to injury or suspension, whatever it might be, we've seen Lars Eller in small sample sizes. We saw this in the 2018 postseason when Backstrom missed some time due to injury. You can move Lars Eller up the depth chart. You can give him increased minutes, increased responsibilities, put him on the second power play unit with some regularity, and he takes advantage. It's not necessarily sustainable. That's not who Lars Eller is. But we've seen several examples over the past few years that you give him that jolt, you give him that adrenaline rush, you ask more of him, he'll take advantage of it in a small sample size. So I look forward to seeing what he does over these next few games with increased minutes, increased role. Regarding Verana, look, no one's going to fill the role of Alex Ovechkin, but for Verana to get potentially increased ice time too, and you put him alongside Backstrom and Tom Wilson, the way Wilson's been going and creating opportunities and creating space for his line mates, an opportunity for V potentially to take advantage here of as well.
Ben, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Let's talk some Washington football team, please. JP Finley, NBC Sports Washington, is going to do just that. JP, we kind of thought Marty Herney was the GM and Martin Mayhew was going to come in to do something, but now Martin Mayhew's the GM and Marty Herney's sort of doing something. How did this go down, and what do we know?
It's going to be really interesting once we get some official on-the-record answers on this, because it's a unique situation. You got to wonder if ownership got involved. You got to wonder if something happened over those couple days. Because I'll tell you the truth. I was told, there was lots of reporting. I was personally told they were finalizing details for Herney to become GM. And then, you know, something flipped. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to find out. But I do know that for the last week or so, maybe even 10 days, the plan was to get both of those guys involved, and we know that, you know, without some sort of compensation, San Francisco could have blocked Mayhew coming here for anything but a GM role, and I wonder if that played a decent size in the kind of the position switch that happened, but I can't wait to hear what all three of these guys say officially. What I do know from talking to people today is that everybody's on board with how it all shook out, and they're ready to kind of hit the ground running with rebuilding at the quarterback position, top of the list.
Should we care about the titles or how this happened? I mean, everybody in the country was reporting for 3 days that Marty Herney was the GM, and then all of a sudden Martin Mayhew was the GM. Like, should we care what happened or what the titles are if Ron Rivera at the end of the day is still the guy at the top and they answer to him? Does it matter what their titles are?
That's kind of where I've landed, Grant. I think you got to ask those questions and wonder kind of what happened and how did you decide who gets what title, what went into that process. I honestly think the NFL rule that you don't necessarily have to allow a front office person to leave for a lateral move is a pretty convenient cover, though. They can just say, oh, we had to name Martin GM because we couldn't have gotten him out of San Fran otherwise. And we'll see if there's more to it than that. But I certainly don't think by, like, this time next week we need to be worried about it. As long as the operation seems like it's working and working well, I think it's, you know, ideally onward and upward for this football team.
Jack Palance, Finley. Just how does it all get delegated? I mean, I know you said more clarity is going to come when we start getting comments kind of on the record and stuff, but what would you anticipate? Is Herney administrative? Is Martin Mayhew talent evaluation? Are they all just handing in reports to Rivera so we can make a decision? Is it just to take stuff off his plate? I'm just trying to figure out the dynamic. I'm so desperate to know how it's all going to work.
So Ron's the quotes in the press releases that came out today from Ron made it seem like Mayhew would handle all of the kind of tasks around building the team, and that Herney would be leading the scouting department and player personnel. Personally, I feel like that'll end up being a little bit different, even though the title suggests general manager handles all this stuff and then player personnel is directly in charge of that. Marty Herney has said on the record that he finds himself to be a better consensus builder than necessarily just a pure scout. And I think if you look at the draft records particularly, and then even some of free agency stuff, I would say Mayhew has the better record in that department, at least like the brief time with the Giants and then the last 3 or 4 years in San Fran. I think it's – we found this so annoying during the Bruce Allen era when they described everything as a collaborative process, but I think we should get prepared for more collaboration being the word they use.
J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington. Quarterback-wise, Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, what is the actual chance that one of those guys – ends up in Washington? Are you buying any of this, or is it just going to be Jags or the guys you've got or a first-round pick?
Casterly was on with the Junkies this morning and said he doesn't see Stafford getting traded. And when you listen to Dan Campbell yesterday, he doesn't sound like a guy that's trading away his QB1. He sounds like he wants to fist fight everybody, and that would mean having the best quarterback you've got. I don't know if Stafford goes anywhere. He's younger. Watson, I think, wants out. And maybe that'll change depending on the coach they hire. And if it's Eric Bieniemy, we'll see. But if Watson wants out, I think Washington will pursue it. I just don't think Washington has enough to get that deal done compared to what the Jets or the Dolphins could put together. Just because the 19th pick is the opposite of sexy. It's Danny in a miniskirt. So I think – I don't know that either of those guys are really in play. I almost wonder if you're not looking at trading up in the draft to try to get the guy you want. Or if Dak hits free agency, I think they should go all in on that. I just kind of doubt it happens. And then I think there's a next tier of intriguing but questionable resumes, Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, guys like that. To me, I don't think it's worth bringing in – Tyrod or Fitzpatrick or something. I think you let Kyle Allen roll out there, and there's still this giant Alex Smith question mark, and or Herney or Mayhew going to have kind of the wherewithal to release him? Is ownership going to support a release of Alex? Is Alex telling him he can come back and give him 16 games? I don't know.
Joe Pesci Finley, real quick, what is the latest with Alex Smith? What are we hearing?
I've been told numerous times that he's going to take some time and talk with his wife and kind of get away from the immediacy of the season before he makes any decision.
That decision may not be coming anytime soon then, I guess. But
have to imagine it comes before free agency in March, right? I mean, you can take 2 months before the new league year starts, and I think that's fair.
I think,
but it's got to happen before
the
then.
The team will force him to tell them what's going on. Way before then, I would imagine. Thank you, JP. We'll talk soon, bro.
Thank you. Sorry for the image of Danny in a miniskirt.
Yeah.
No, it's very nice. I was thinking about it.
I was not. I did my best not to think about it. But at least he brought it up a second time after we had moved on. All right, let's talk some hoops. Chris Miles joins us to talk about the NBA. Hey, before we get into the Wizards, we got game one under our belts of watching KD and Kyrie and Harden. And everyone said, well, they're not going to play any defense. And I think they played less defense than they were expected to. I know it was overtime, but the Cavs scored almost 150 points. That game was fun to watch, but oh my God, did they not care about getting any.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Well, the funniest part about that is they try to play defense. If you watch those shots, Colin Sexton is giving Kyrie Irving eye candy. But the thing is, they don't have good defenders. And the you know, poetic part of that is Jared Allen, the guy who I thought they gave up too much because he's a guy that has all-star caliber, you know, center skills and is defensive-minded and top plays every night. He was the one battling down low at the end of the game for Cleveland and was the difference maker. So I thought that was really interesting, that post game.
Chris, when the Wizards do play again, what do we expect?
Oh, man, that is such a great question because no one knows. And when I say no one knows, this team, every time we look at the Wizards, and I'm saying the past like 8 years and think, oh, they're terrible, they're awful. That's actually with their backs against the wall where they surprise us. I mean, you remember their last win when they faced the Phoenix Suns? It was like, oh, yeah, this team's going to lose this game. I mean, they lost their last two. Now they're going to face a hot Suns team. And they blew the Suns out. So with just eight guys practicing, Bradley Beal playing center in practice, and you're going down to San Antonio to face the Spurs, it's like, oh, yeah, they're going to lose. They haven't played in forever. But who knows? Maybe it's like, oh, they have fresh legs and other teams are worn down. I have no idea. What I do know is that I'm happy to see them back on the court. I mean, it's been far too long.
The NBA do the right thing by not having them play? I mean, it was a precedent one way or the other being set there where maybe they could have just had them play undermanned against Milwaukee.
Well, that's a great question in this sense. We've seen other teams go out there and just lose games undermanned. I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers, if you go look at their season – They lost three games in a row, and that's when Tobias Harris, Steph Curry, and someone else, I can't remember who it is, were all out of the lineup because of COVID tracing. And then when you go look at the Boston Celtics, I mean, Jason Tatum has been out forever, you know, as the team just plays through it. And even the Houston Rockets, you know, John Wall and the Wizards set to play their first game against each other on Tuesday. And the Rockets are putting out guys that I'm like, who is this dude? This is an undrafted rookie who averaged like 16 points in college and scores 24 points in his first opportunity. I mean, teams are just playing with replacement players, just trying to get the season in order. And I think the league was saying to the Wizards, like, look, we get it, but you guys got to get back out there, and we'll see them on Sunday.
Eastern Conference team that's impressed you the most thus far?
That's a great question. I might say the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I would have said that before the Brooklyn Nets win. But they've been so bad for so long. They've been missing players. And they keep doing small things to get better. I mean, they drafted those two guards in Colin Sexton and Darius Garland back-to-back years. I was like, what are they doing? I mean, they're drafting these little guys to be in the same backcourt. But then they went and got Andre Drummond. Like, oh, that's a good move. And he's been good for them. Then they went and got Jared Allen. And they drafted Isaac Okoro. So I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are a team that could sneakily make the playoffs and change their recent fortune. And I think they'll be the biggest surprise this season in the East.
Chris Miles, we love you. Thank you, buddy.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Still to come on Grant and Danny. How did Washington land on Mayhew and not Herney as their general manager? Which of the two championship games on Sunday is better? Next, though, Albert Breer. He's got some insight. He was one of the few guys, reports on the NFL around the country, that had this GM thing right from the beginning. He always thought Martin Mayhew could end up being the general manager. So let's get to the bottom of this with him next. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Our buddy Albert Breer of SI and the MMQB wanted to get him on because he's one of the few people around the country who has been right about what was going on in this front office for a little while now. Albert, what a weird last 4 days this has been. I mean, it started, and I'm not calling out Ian Rappaport, your buddy, but Rap Sheet reported that Marty Herney was going to be the GM. That got confirmed by about 100 reporters since. And for 3 days, we've essentially just sat around waiting for Herney to be the GM, only to find out last night Mayhew was the GM. I don't know if it matters what the titles are, because Herney could actually be above him anyway. What the heck's going on?
Well, let's start a baseline. Marty Herney didn't – I don't think he cared about being the GM, like, to be completely honest with you. You know, obviously, you know, he doesn't have a job now. And I think, you know, he wanted to work with Ron Rivera again, and Ron Rivera wanted to work with him again. And so, you know, my understanding is it was, you know, pretty clearly communicated by Herney that if you need the GM title to go get somebody else, by all means go and do it, because we want to have the best people in the building. And that's why, and you guys have seen my reporting over the last 3 or 4 weeks, like I've said pretty consistently that I thought this would be the outcome. Now, you know, I'm not saying I knew that 3 days ago, when it did seem like, to Ian's credit, like that Herney was going to be the general manager. But this was on the board the whole time. And the idea that they could bring in Marty Herney in a senior role and then use the GM title to lure a really, really good executive from somewhere else was always part of the equation, especially because Marty Herney's 65 years old. And so who knows if he's going to have the appetite to do this in 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I think that this wound up – and I know it seems wonky the way that the whole thing happened, you know, but ultimately I think that this was sort of the optimal conclusion to the whole thing, was you have a general manager coming in who you can envision being the guy for the next 5 or 10 years, and you still get Marty Herney out of the deal. And so, you know, I think that this is, you know, really, if you look at it, kind of how they would have drawn it up from the start. And that's, you know, whether this wound up being Martin Mayhew or Ryan Cowden or Joe Shane or any of the other guys that we've discussed potentially being in that role.
What does it mean for Kyle Smith?
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, I've had the sense that, like, they like him as an evaluator, but the job of being general manager is bigger than just that. There are a lot of operations things that go into the job of general manager beyond just player evaluation. So, you know, it's setting up the strength program. It's, you know, helping to run travel, helping to run equipment, helping. I mean, there's so many things that go into the GM job. And, you know, I think they felt like he's still 36, I believe, right? I think they liked him as an evaluator, but maybe thought, you know, he just needed some seasoning before he's ready to become a general manager. And that maybe at this point in his career, he'd be best utilized by the organization strictly as an evaluator. And so, you know, I think he's still, you know, obviously in a management position and overseeing scouting and everything else. But, I mean, I think a big part of this was, you know, why, like, you know, that right now, you know, the feeling was that it's best that he focuses on what he's best at, and what he's best at is scouting. And, you know, whether or not that'll lead to his departure, that's the risk you take here, because, you know, like, look, like, I can, you know, explain all that out to you guys as much as I want. The reality is, you know, if I were in his position, I'd probably look at this as, you know, going from number one to number three. And if he views it that way, you know, then you certainly risk losing him potentially over the next 3 or 4 years.
And, Albert, you know, not only one to three potentially, but whether they meant it this way or not, they essentially made it seem to us, the media, the fans, that he was getting an audition, so to speak, this year, running the veteran, you know, scouting department, running the pro and amateur sides of things. And if you look at their draft and their free agency, they did really well. So I don't know. I don't know what happened between him and Rivera, but if you're Smith, I could see being frustrated. I just don't know if it matters. If he's under contract, they don't have to let him go anywhere, do they?
No. Well, I mean, by rule, like, I mean, if he were to get GM interviews, then yeah. You know what I mean? Like, then they would. There are new anti-tampering rules that sort of protect guys who have an opportunity to move up. And, I mean, like, look, there's the other part of this, too, where, you know, Ron Rivera is a pretty good guy. And I think Martin Mayhew and Marty Herney are good guys, too. And so I certainly think if there was an opportunity to advance himself that comes in a year or two, because he did a really good job in Washington, I would think that, you know, that Rivera, that Herney, that
that Mayhew would listen to the idea, like, of, you know, okay, like, I want to go here, go there to move up. So, again, that's part of the risk, right? But here's the thing, guys. Like, that'd be a good problem to have, right? Because if he's starting to get opportunities outside and an opportunity to leave, well, now all of a sudden that means that you're doing a really good job putting the team together and you're winning on a consistent basis.
Albert Breer with us here on Grant and Danny. That's what I wanted to get to, Albert. How many years, how many months, how many kind of days in a row, right? Like, you think of those factors, it's been X number of days since the last accident. When it comes to the Washington football team, it's always another shoe's about to drop. It's usually ownership related and it trickles down and there's some kind of disaster and they're the butt of jokes around the league. How many days of competence in a row before that rep changes, right? Like, how many days before we start to trust it that we can come outside and not get punched in the nose?
You know, I think that what we saw this year is great progress. Let's start right there. You know, it's been a long time since this they've had a voice at the top of the org chart as strong as Ron Rivera. And I think, you know, Ron Rivera handling his own personal situation as well as he did, like, lends a great amount of respect to the organization around the league. And what I mean by that is, Ron dealt with a lot of things that weren't his fault. You know what I mean? Like the nickname situation, the situation with ownership, with all the stories in the post. I mean, everybody knew. Like, that wasn't – Ron had nothing to do with any of that stuff, right? But his willingness to go out there and be the front man for the organization and, like, affect change within the organization, I think goes a long way. You know, and I think that's a very powerful step forward. And I'm not even – like, and that's without even touching on the fact that he was dealing with cancer, which, you know, I think everybody understands, like, you know, how hard it was for him to go through the season that he did. So, you know, I think, you know, from that standpoint, like, the idea of Washington being a circus, you've sort of taken that away now, right? Like, so that, like Ron's been able to kind of eradicate that in a year, which is pretty impressive considering how many circuses you guys have witnessed there in D.C. over the last 15 years. The next step, I think, is just, you know, earning the reputation of being a consistent winner, and that happens over time. You know, they've been able to establish something pretty good there right now. You know, but, you know, the division they won was the worst in football, and there's still some pretty major pieces to the puzzle that they're going to need to put in place if they want to win consistently. Most notably, finding a quarterback, you know, and getting a decision on the quarterback right. So. You know, I'd say they've made that step out of being like a just complete circus organization and into a place where I think, you know, people look at the guys in charge, and this goes all the way up to the team president, Jason Wright, and they're in a position now where they're not the laughingstock anymore. And the next step is trying to establish yourself as a consistent winner, which, I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, you know, one division title, one with a record that's sub 500, as impressive as the job the coaches did to get the most out of the roster, that's not going to get you to that level.
Grant and Danny with Albert Breer here on 106.7 The Fan. Is there a connection between Mayhew and Rivera that I can't quite figure out? I know they played in the league at the same time.
Yeah.
Been in the same circles. They do have the same agent.
Same agent, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Because I'm sitting here, I'm going, I want to applaud that he finally hired someone who he's not, you know, dining with. But I could, so they have the same agent, so that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was the connection I was able to make. I mean, I think I gave, I don't know where I wrote it. I mean, it was a month ago, but, you know, when we were talking about who could be in the running for this, to me, the two prime candidates to be GM, if Marty Herney was going to be in a senior role, were Ryan Cowden and Martin Mayhew. And Ryan worked with him in Carolina. And so Ryan had a ton of background with him and, as you know, interviewed for the job, as you guys know, and was very much in the running for it. And then you had, and then you have Martin Mayhew, who there is something of a relationship there because they do share the same agent. They did play in the league at the same time, and you know, now it's going to be about learning each other. But one thing Mayhew does bring to the table, like, he was able to win and win fairly consistently in a place that's been hard to win in the past. If that rings a bell with you guys, you know, if that sort of thing resonates with you guys. He was able to do it in Detroit. And, you know, being able to win in that sort of spot, I think, definitely appealed to Washington because the challenge is sort of the same in winning in Washington.
put you on the spot here. This is an awkward open-ended question, but I've been reading some stuff, looking at rumors and things. And this is always kind of the year of, oh, my God, I can't believe that just happened. Not asking you for a report. Just give me something you think might be a surprise, like a surprise cut or release or move on from or something crazy, kind of like the Doug Peterson firing that happened a week after everybody else got let go. Do you see something crazy brewing?
I think quarterback movement could be pretty high. And I think that there are – I'm going to call this the Mahomes effect. I think some teams look at it and are starting to kind of analyze this and say to themselves, if we've got a quarterback in, like, say, the 11 to 20 range in the NFL, is that okay anymore? Is that enough anymore? And you look at the four teams that are in the championship – that are in the championship games, and it's Josh Allen, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Tom Brady – and it's Aaron Rodgers. And so, and I think you're even seeing this at the college level, right? Like, you see the blue blood programs now all have elite quarterbacks, right? Like, used to be Alabama was winning with Greg McElroy, and Ohio State was winning with JT Barrett, and now they're in the championship game with Mac Jones and Justin Fields. So I think there's a little bit of a, there could be a Mahomes effect happening where, and I'm not saying everybody's going to, if they have, you know, a quarterback you deem as average, you're going to throw them overboard. But I do think that teams are going to start to look more creatively about upgrading at the position. And so there are three teams in particular that I think have good quarterbacks in place that I think could find a way or look for a way to upgrade this offseason. And those three, the Raiders with Derek Carr, the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Rams with Jared Goff. I could see any of those three teams actively seeking an upgrade this offseason. And maybe if they can find one, moving on from the guys they've had in place the last few years.
What if some of those teams even swapped with each other? That could get interesting. How does Washington fit into all that? And what kind of suitor would they be? We were trying to throw this ball around on this yesterday because Deshaun Watson's got a no-trade clause, not even to get into Watson, but we were just thinking, like, let's say it's them and Miami and some other teams. What do they look like now, a year removed from some of the madness, as a suitor for a quarterback?
Well, Grant, what's interesting about it is, like, you know, I think you do look at them a little differently if you're a quarterback. I think the other thing is there's merit to the idea of just kind of getting your head above water at the position. And, maybe you are the team that takes on a Garoppolo or a Carr or a Goff or someone like that, a Stafford or Ryan if the Falcons or Lions decide they're moving on. And Ryan and Stafford, I think, still have gas left in the tank, by the way. I do think that there's merit in that. And to me, Kansas City might be the best example of it. And if you guys look, like, you know, in 2013, Andy Reid comes on, right? If they had forced it that year, and said, okay, we're going to draft a quarterback, come hell or high water. Like, look at who they would have been looking at. It was EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, Ryan Nassib, right? Like you look at it, and that's what happens when you pigeonhole yourself into a year and say we're going to draft a quarterback this year. Sometimes that sort of thing happens, and so. The Chiefs, instead of like forcing the idea of drafting a quarterback that year, they trade for Alex Smith, and Alex Smith bought them flexibility where they never had to force it. They could wait for the right guy to come along, build the rest of the roster up. Boom, 2017, they fall in love with Patrick Mahomes, and we know the rest of the story. So, like, I think that there's great value, not just in getting to the elite level, but there's also value in kind of getting your head above water at the quarterback position. And so, maybe the Reds. I'm going to make that mistake till I'm 55. You guys heard the word coming out there, right? maybe Washington sees somebody they really love and sells out to go up and get them. Or maybe the idea is we want to go find a good, competent veteran that we can win with for the next 4 or 5 years, and that gives us the flexibility where we can wait on a guy we really love coming along, and then we'll go all in on that guy whenever that time comes.
Albert, awesome with us as always, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
You got it. Great info from Albert Breer. Helps clear some of that up that, you know, this was kind of where they wanted to land from the beginning. How about that, though? They share an agent. We've been wondering about the ties for Rivera and Mayhew. Like, why is Mayhew a guy that he's real high on or interested in? Maybe it's just that he's super qualified, but most of the people they've interviewed, you know, Rivera has worked with before, knows really well. So that is pretty fascinating. We can delve back into this next at 800-636-1067 with you. Your thoughts on Mayhew as the GM, Herney as a senior vice president on Grant and Danny next. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We'll circle back to a couple of things Albert Breer told us in just a moment. Remember, the 5 at 5 is coming up at the top of the hour. One breaking story today while we were on the air within the last hour or so. Ryan Zimmerman is re-signing with the Nationals, a one-year deal. Sounds like not a lot of money. Not that you would have anticipated he was going to break the bank, Danny. But, I mean, an amount of money that, frankly, is not going to move the needle for him at this point of his career, which tells you that he's hungry to get back on the diamond and he still wants to play baseball.
Just wants to square up baseball, some left-handed pitching. Play every couple of days, pinch hit, be part of it again, hang out back in the sun. Yeah, he's in. And you're 100% right. This is not about getting rich in terms of, you know, what Zim would do. It's basically you're really limiting yourself. And he was honest about this, and he's talked about this before publicly. He's not just going to go, yeah, I'm going to, you know, I'll play somewhere else. I'll move. He's like, no, I'm either playing here or nowhere else. You know, so that's right away you sort of limited your leverage there.
Speaking of baseball, as positive a story as that is, the tragic story today of the loss of former home run king Hank Aaron. Henry Aaron dying at 86 years old, one of the best baseball players who has ever lived. We will have more on a couple of those items in our 5 at 5 coming up in 10 minutes at the top of the hour. So I've been wondering since Martin Mayhew's name came out as front runner to get one of the jobs. We didn't think he's going to be the GM, but we heard he was coming to this front office to be with Marty Herney. And I just looked. Generally what I do is I see, okay, when were you in Charlotte? And he had not worked for the Panthers, and so something was weird to me about that. And I thought, well, maybe this is Jack Del Rio style, Rivera going outside the box a little bit. But it turns out, according to Albert Breer, they do share an agent. Now, that does not in any way disqualify Martin Mayhew. Doesn't mean he's not qualified. And the last thing I would want to do is to question his qualifications. This is a guy that was the XFL's director of football administration. He, before getting this GM job, was the VP of player personnel in San Francisco under John Lynch, working directly with Kyle Shanahan. He was a senior personnel executive in both San Francisco and with the New York Giants, where in 2016 he was the director of their football operations. And this is all since he was the GM of the Lions for a long time, from 2008 to 2015. So I think he is absolutely qualified, more than qualified. But my point is, Herney was not going to get a GM job anywhere else. I don't think Mayhew was going to get a GM job anywhere else. And so with a guy in Rivera who's very loyal and takes care of his guys, I'm just always kind of curious, is this someone he's tight with or not? And maybe they do have a relationship through their agent.
You knew there was got to be something right there, right? I mean, because again, this is about Rivera's comfort level. At the end of the day, that's what this is, right? So how comfortable are you with somebody that's going to tell you you're wrong every 5 seconds, right? Like, you bring in a GM you're going to butt heads with. That's not natural, and that's an extreme example, but you see the point. Ron Rivera wants people in his employ that he trusts, that he feels comfortable with, that will, feel confident enough to tell him, I don't know about that, Skip, maybe once or twice, but for the most part, get along with what Ron Rivera wants, right? He's the guy. He's the ultimate chef. He's the Bobby Flay, and he rolls into the restaurant and is like, bring me 15 different ingredients and make them all fit here. And you've got people in your employ now that are going to do that. And that's what this is about. Ron Rivera has an outrageous amount of power when it comes to this organization and this football team. It is. It's a staggering amount of power for a guy that's never won a Super Bowl, for a guy that's had a couple great seasons, someone that I like a lot, by the way, but it is a lot of power, and he just cemented a hold of it, in my opinion, this offseason.
And there is plenty being discussed about, well, who's going to answer to who, and what's the higher office, the general manager or the senior VP of all the personnel. I mean, what I was told was that Marty Herney is going to be the top guy under Ron Rivera. I just don't know that it matters. If it's Mayhew or if it's Herney is kind of irrelevant. And of the two, I'd prefer it to be Mayhew, for the record. He has less time in Carolina and Charlotte and might be more willing to have his own opinion coming from a better organization, frankly. San Francisco, where he was most recently, is one of the cream of the crop teams in this conference. I think getting outside of the NFL and being a part of the XFL process and some of the evaluating and the scouting and the looking into players and things that he had to do in that league probably helped a whole lot. So I'd prefer him to have more influence than Herney. But regardless, I just think that it's all semantics, right? It's going to be a room where Rivera has two guys with a ton of experience, 50 years in the NFL, who are going to work with him. Jason Wright sent out a tweet today, and he's just so smart and so sharp, and I love Jason Wright. But he said, you know, kind of what everyone wants to hear, frankly, what all the fans are hoping. He said that he had just gotten out of a meeting. I'll read it. He said, just met Martin and Marty with Coach, meaning so he's sitting down with Rivera, with Mayhew, and with Herney. He said, you could feel the confidence, the steadiness of the combined wisdom of about 50 NFL years in the room. They've already collaborated seamlessly as a team from Riverboat Ron head coach, tagging him on Twitter, down. Football is in the hands of selfless, thoughtful leaders. I'm excited. Now, easy thing to say today, and they're going to have to go prove it and show it. And Jason Wright is sharp as a tack. I mean, he's always going to say the right thing. But that is what they're going to sell now, Danny, is we got three guys that are going to work great together. And look at all this experience. They've both been GMs, and Ron Rivera's running this operation. We'll see if it works. You know, we'll see if teams don't often do it this way, right? This is a new structure, so to speak. The most important thing is that Ron Rivera can be a lead executive, something he was never tasked with doing in Carolina. That's what's going to sink or allow this to swim, I think.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and by the way, good luck with your first place schedule next year. Good luck with some of your out-of-conference
Go
games, out-of-division games. Yeah, you know? I mean, you're not going to find a bigger Jason Wright fan than me. I'll trust that dude to do anything. Whatever he wants to run, he can run as far as I'm concerned. He is a star. But you're right. January meetings do not, you know, win week 14 games. You know what I mean? They don't get you the right quarterback without some crazy machination or sort of genius foresight. So we will see where the rubber meets the road, obviously.
This is better than what they've had.
That's exactly what I have to keep reminding myself.
If I'm a little bit annoyed, if I think this wasn't perfect, if they could have done something better, should have done something different.
So much better.
I do think, like, you've gone years and years and years without a Marty Herney in your building, without a Martin Mayhew in your building, and without whoever was in Ron Rivera's situation being as powerful as him. So now you've got Rivera running it all and those two guys helping him.
Infinitely better than it was. Is it a 10? No. Is it a 700-pound, bedridden, morbidly obese lawsuit in waiting, which is what Dan Snyder's organization has been for so long? Is it Bruce Allen? Just, you know, once every 6 years he emerges from a cave to berate a quarterback or you know, lie to the press? No. Is it better than that? Absolutely. Is it a 10? No, but it's way better than it was.
5 and 5 gets better every single time we do it. It's better than it used to be. We will give you your top 5 stories of the day on Grant and Danny in 5 minutes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.